Thank you, Russell and worship team. That was wonderfully beautiful. I'm going to start out by saying when I was a little kid, we grew up in the Bay Area. My whole family still lives up there. And every maybe 2 months or so, we went up to the city. And so if you know anything about the Bay Area, the city is San Francisco. And so we went to San Francisco, and we always went to Chinatown. My dad was kind of fairly unimaginative when it came to adventures. So we would park down by the pier that you're supposed to go to as a tourist, even though we lived in the area, and then we'd go to Chinatown, and then we would go home. And even though San Francisco has plenty to offer, that was my whole life of going to San Francisco until my teenage years when I began to explore the entire city. But one of the things we would do in Chinatown, especially in that era, was you would go and eat like exotic foods and spit out about half of it because it just was not like agreeing with your taste buds, because you can truly find authentic Chinese food in Chinatown still. But also, we would buy what any teenage or younger boy has to buy when he goes to Chinatown, firecrackers. Because Chinatown had firecrackers year-round, no matter what. But you had to ask for them. They didn't advertise it. So anyhow, one day when I was maybe in junior high or so, I was lighting firecrackers at our house and lighting them and throwing them and, you know, just doing stuff with them. And so I lit one and threw it. But I need to explain what a firecracker is, because it's the same thing as a little stick of dynamite, which is it's filled with what, you know, taking you back to high school, this might come in handy in your SAT, so think potential energy. Okay, so like the firecracker or stick of dynamite is loaded with energy. It just hasn't been released yet. The energy is packed in there and it's ready to go. And so, you know, I'm throwing these firecrackers, and little did I know that when I lit the wick of one of them and threw them, about the other eight in my hand also were lit. But I didn't know it, because I'd lit the one, threw it, and brought my hand back like this, and just as that one exploded, these other ones did too. And so the first thing I noticed was that I couldn't feel my hand, so I looked at it. But fortunately, it was still there, as you can see. But what I also noticed was I couldn't hear. And then, you know, naturally just the panic of humanity comes in, and I can hear, everything's fine. But for a while there, I couldn't hear, but I couldn't tell my parents why I couldn't hear well that day because of the reasons why. But the reason why I say this is I was not factoring in, you know, one, the stupidity of being a teenage boy and lighting all the wicks that one particular time, but also the amount of energy found in a little tiny firecracker, especially when there's eight of them that go off in your hand. And so today I want to talk about the power of God, okay? The awesome, all like encompassing power of God, that God is all powerful, or this thing called the omnipotence of God. Omni, of course, meaning all in the Latin, and potent, which power, you know, is powerful. You know that, like, you know that there's potent things, you know, there's drinks that are potent, or there's drugs that are potent, and that's what that word means, and God is omnipotent or omnipotent, and we talk about that as Christians. But one of the things that I want to continue to focus on in this series is when we talk in the head knowledge about God and him being all-knowing, ever-present, and everywhere, in other words, and all-powerful or omnipotent, we tend to know it here, but we don't really believe it here. Okay, we tend to know it, but not believe it. And that's where this whole focus is. And so that's why if you take out your notes, each week I've been putting a bunch of verses in your notes. It's only because we're covering like these massive theological topics. So I want to throw some just verses in there so you can see in your notes. But one of the things that we start out with each week is, what is the definition of sin? And sin, again, is the wrong belief about God. So when you believe something wrongly about God, it's a sin. It just is. And so when you say, well, I think sin is, cussing at somebody on the street, that is. But it's a sinful action. But I can guarantee it traces back to some sort of wrong belief about God, that God's letting your day get out of hand, or that he's not in control of everything. And if my life was more in control, if I wasn't so filled with anxiety, if I wasn't such a procrastinator and I wasn't late to work, then this person wouldn't have cut me off and I wouldn't have cussed him out. And so We tend to have wrong beliefs about God. And that's what the description of sin can be boiled down to, is a wrong belief about God. Because the truth of God is the truth. Anything else is an error. And so therefore, it's a sin. And it becomes a sin. And when we begin to believe God is different from who he actually is, then we start acting out on that. And we start accusing or blaming God for doing things wrongfully, or doing things that he should have, or doing things differently than he should have done, or he shouldn't have done them all together or allowed it to happen. And we start blaming God for all these things. And so again, that's why we're going through this series, which is, what is God like? Because we can talk about it right here all the time in our small groups and in our get-togethers and our lunches together. What's God like? But right here is really where belief is. It's right here. And what is it that is driving you to what God is like? And what does that mean to me in my life? And how does that apply in my life today? And so today, again, we're going to be looking at, as I've said, that God is all-powerful, all the time, at the same time. And we use this word omnipotent sometimes in books with regard to God. So I began by talking about this little firecracker incident that happened to me, and I just want to remind us that power is seen, it's often seen through an outcome. In other words, that firecracker had potential energy or potential power inside of it. It wasn't until that power was released, and it was designed a certain way to be released in a particular way, it wasn't until that happened that you saw its outcome. So you see an explosion. So the stick of dynamite itself is not powerful until it's ignited. Then it's very powerful and very dangerous and very destructive. And the amount of power that any of us really has is very limited, like as people. And because God is all powerful, he can do whatever. But as human beings, we're very limited in our power. We think we have more power than we actually do. And I see this all the time in social media, that we think we have this power to do stuff. You know, I'm just going to... I'm gonna qualify what I'm about to say. I understand what, like, the fight against, let's say, cancer is about. I understand how we fight against cancer, that we have research and we take certain regimens to try to overcome what cancer is. But we can't collectively just decide I'm not gonna have cancer. We don't fight cancer by just saying I'm just gonna will it away, or I'm just gonna believe it to be gone and it goes away. That's not within our belief system. It's not even within rational thinking. And so we as human beings are very limited on our power, and we actually only have power over a couple things. You have power, first of all, over your thinking. Does that make sense? What your mind has to say. And you also have power over your muscles to create and do things with. So let me give a quick explanation of what I mean by that we have very limited power. From the power of our mind and body, so in other words, what you can think and what you can do, you can imagine a building, and then you can build it. You can imagine a song, and then write it and sing it. You can imagine a painting or a picture, and then paint it or draw it construct it in some particular way. You can imagine a pastry and bake it. You can imagine a surgery and perform it. If you're a doctor, you can do all types of things where you have the power of your mind to create something, and then with your hands, you can work it. But that's really all the power you have. You can't will things away. You can't decide, right now I want to have a pastry because that sounds really good. It just all of a sudden have it appear in your hands. You know, those are the types of things that we kind of dream about when you're a kid and you say, you know, what's three things you would ask for if you had a genie? You know, and you know, the natural outcome is to say to have more genies, or you know, have a million more wishes or whatever. But, you know, when we watch these things like Bewitched, those of you who are my age more, or I Dream a Genie, where these things just, you know, came about like that, we thought that was pretty cool. But then oftentimes you'd see the outcome of what happens. But we don't have that type of power. That power of thoughts, that power of muscle is the only thing we really have to see any outcome. So in other words, that's the only real potential power that you have as a human being. No power beyond that. Russell just can't come up here and just decide to start singing a song and it appears on the screen and it all works out. And we all know how to sing it, because that's just not how we're geared to bring things like that into existence. The power to create as humans, it takes a lot of labor, tons of labor. Like my son Andrew, He's graduating here in a couple months as an engineer. He just passed a really important engineering exam that's made him now a licensed student engineer or something like that. I don't know what it is. It's something so he can get hired. But he's been at this thing for like 5.5 years now or so. And so it takes a lot of muscle energy to get to the place where he still hasn't fully become an engineer yet. Does that make sense? Like, and so it takes, as humans, tons of energy for our minds to get to the place where we can create something. And then it takes a bunch of energy with our muscles to create something. And that's how we see our outcomes. We can do very little. It just takes us a whole lot of labor and a whole lot of time and a whole lot of equipment to create things. And we can do very little. But God, the difference between us and God when it comes to power is he can do whatever he wills, whenever he wills, however he wills. That's what we understand theologically about the power of God. Now I'm going to pause for a second because there's all these little trite things that will be like, well, what is something God can't do? Well, God can't will himself out of existence, you know, and these are pithy things. Can God create a square circle? No, you know, he can't do that, so God can't be all powerful. These are just trite little sayings. They're silly because the reality is we don't know. Maybe he can't, but maybe he chooses not to because they're stupid. You know what I mean? And so, yeah. So, you know, we can't get caught up in these little weird things that, you know, skeptics will bring up about where God is limited. You know, God can't sin, which, you know, is a good thing for us, to tell you the truth. So I don't know who would die for his sins then if he were to sin, and then it would make Jesus' death for our sin just void. It wouldn't be worth anything. But anyhow, let me get back to point here. Okay, so we're talking about God and that he can will anything because of his power. He can heal just when he wants to. And Michelle, are you still in here? Michelle, the Lord's been doing some amazing work in your life. Yeah, I mean, miraculous healings. And it parallels what the Lord did in Dwight's life, a little over a year ago, where he healed him of cancer. And many of you have seen miracles. We see Miley, who's now, I think Miley's in her seventh month or so, and she's had a number of troubles and difficulties having a caring child. And look at what the Lord's doing in our midst. The Lord can do anything. He can heal. He can save. He can forgive. He can free you. He can change you. He can restore you. For God, the power to create or to change something, it doesn't require any labor on his part. It requires no energy, no special energy that he doesn't already have. He can do all that he can do because he's all powerful. No labor, no equipment. He doesn't need help. He just simply wills it, speaks it, touches it, and it's done. And so what I want to do is go to this first slide and look at what God says about himself, because one of the things that I said in at the very first one of the series in this series is that what we know about God is what God has told us about himself in Scripture. And so one of the things we know about God is that early on, you know, we're talking Genesis chapter 1, third verse in, even the second one has declaration of this, but God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. It wasn't like, oh, you know, let me kind of design this thing and kind of, you know, work with it and I'll figure out how to make light. He just said it, he spoke it, and by his word, there was light. And Jesus, you know, using the same illustration, New Testament, Jesus one day says to the wind and the waves, because they're just overwhelming the crew or overwhelming them in the boat, and they're all freaking out and they all think they're going to drown, and Jesus is asleep in the boat, and he gets woken by the men who are freaking out because they all think they're going to die and be overwhelmed by the power of waves. And if you don't understand the power of wind and waves, go out on the ocean one of these days when it's going to be bad weather. Okay, but go out with two things, a seasoned sailor and a life vest on, okay? Because it's extremely uncontrolling feeling. I used to hate the wind and the waves when I was a kid, and I grew up right by Santa Cruz. Hated them in storms. It was so scary. But when all of that craziness was going on, Jesus said, just quiet, be still to the waves. He probably said it to the guys too, but it worked quicker with the waves and the wind, and it was completely calm. By his power, Jesus healed the sick. By his power, he gave sight to the blind. By his power, he raised people from the dead. God's ability to do anything without effort, to do whatever he wills, is his awesome power. It's his absolute power. And in your notes, I put some verses in there about what God calls himself. One of the things he calls himself is Almighty. That's just what he calls himself. I'm the Almighty, the El Shaddai. And you can look that up. There's some verses I put in there for you. In Jeremiah, next slide, there's a passage in Jeremiah where Jeremiah's going through a bunch of stuff, and he has this horrible time that he really struggles with a bunch of doubt, and God restores him by just performing some awesome works. And after this time of doubt, and he experiences this exuberant faith, one of the things that he reveals about himself is Almighty God, you made heaven. This is Jeremiah talking about God, I should say. Almighty God, you made heaven and earth by your great strength and powerful arm. Nothing. And some of you Christians, some of you followers of Jesus who are really, really struggling right now in your faith, or you're struggling with some situation in your life, I don't want you to get, if you get nothing else out of this sermon, I want you to notice that last sentence. Nothing is too hard for God. Because right now, I'll guarantee in this room, there is somebody right now that is saying, this is even too hard for God. This is something that no one can fix. It's just the way it is. It's just always going to be this way. Nothing will ever change it. It's just how he is. It's just how she is. It's just the job I'm stuck in. It's just the school I'm in. It's just the place I'm at. Nothing is going to change it. And God says, who do you think I am? I am the God that nothing is too hard for. You know, God spoke everything into existence. He upholds everything by his hand, is what his word tells us. And Jesus reminds us the same thing. Matthew, I put it in your notes. Jesus reminds us of the same thing. With God, all things are possible. So Christian, Jesus follower, loved one, beloved of God, with all things, or with God, all things are possible. And I'm going to pause here for a second. Father, there are people in this room, I know it. I know it, because our assembly is too big for this not to be true. But there is somebody in this room right now that is really struggling with something that's ripping them apart. And would you speak through your gentle spirit that nothing is too hard for you? Would you confirm into their soul that with you, Father, all things are possible in that situation? And we pray this in your powerful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what is that thing? That thing in your life? Does that make sense? There's something. It's just there. It just sits there. It's always there. What is that thing in your life today that only God can do for you? God can bring to pass everything he wills. His power has no bounds, no limitations. This is what we know. And this is all we need to know. Does that make sense? I'm going to say it just one more time in one clear sentence. God can bring to pass everything he wills. His power has no bounds or limitations. And this is what we know. And this is all we need to know about his omnipresence. And that's in a nutshell, what the all-powerful God is about. In a nutshell, we must be settled to find our rest and be satisfied with what we know about God in this particular way. We have to move what we know about God out of our heads and down into our hearts, because God can bring to pass everything he wills. And I'm just going to shift just for a second in our thoughts, because we have a tendency to think of God like a man. And we tend to look at other cults, and look at cults as if we're a cult. We tend to look at the other cults, not just ourselves. We tend to look at Christian cults and other cults that aren't Christian, is what I meant to say. We tend to look at cults in a way that we say, well, we're not like them. Because one of the characteristics, there's about 6 to 7 major characteristics of any cult But one of them is that they humanize God. They say things like this: God was once a human. Or they say, you can become a God. So they humanize God. They say that he was once like us, or that you, yourself, a human, can become a God. And that's it's a classic teaching of most cults out there. But sometimes, you know, we look at them and we listen to them, and you might have a friend that's involved in a cult that talks about, you know, God being a human at one time, or you could become yourself a God. And we tend to think, I'm so glad I don't believe that. I'm glad that I don't believe that about God, that he was once a human. I'm so happy with that. I never do that. I never think about God that way. But sometimes, I'm going to tell you this, Christian, sometimes you do inadvertently humanize God. You sometimes think he acts like us, and that we can butter him up, or that we can do something good so that he has a better outcome, or that we can cajole him into something. I'm gonna start praying more so that God notices how active I am with him, so that now he can give me this thing that I really want, and then once I get that thing I really want, then I'm not ever really going to pray again because I got the thing I really wanted. When we don't trust God to make good on his promises to us, when we don't trust God to make good on the prophecies that he has for us, when we don't trust God, we humanize him because we say he's not trustworthy, which is what we tend to be. And that's why when we look for elders, and, you know, as we're developing our elders here, and you'll be voting on new elders coming up soon, one of the traits we look for is, are they trustworthy? Because humans tend not to be trustworthy. But God has the power to carry out his plans in the ways and times that he chooses, regardless if we like his timing, regardless if we like his outcomes. He does it according to his thing, not our thing. So if we look at this next slide, I want it to serve as a reminder about God, a reminder about what he says about himself. Here's what God says about himself. I'm not a man. God is not a man. I'm not a man that God should lie. Let me read it correctly. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? This is out of the New International. If we could show it in the next one, which is out of the God's Word translation that I've been quoting things out of, which is, God is not like people. He tells no lies. He's not like humans. He doesn't change his mind. When he says something, he does it. When he makes a promise, he keeps it. God will fulfill his words to you because he has the power to do so. We know this from Jeremiah 23:17. And I'm going to again ask you a question. Are you struggling with something that only the power of God can solve? That only the ever-presence of God can solve, that only the all-knowing nature of God, since this is our third week in our six-week series, if in those three areas, is there something that God alone can resolve that you're struggling with? Well, I want to ask you to pull out that card out of your notes there, not the one about Old Town, but the other one, where it says God can. And right now, I don't want you to write on it. I just want you to look at the question that I'm putting up on the board, and it's in your notes as well. But here's the question.
Am I resting in the truth?
No, that's right. That's right. I changed it. I thought it was the old way I had it written. Am I resting in the truth that God is so powerful that nothing is too hard for him? I can't find that job. I can't find that loved one. I can't find someone to love me. I can't overcome my addiction. I'm dumb. I'm slow. I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too thin. I'm too fat. And God says, I can change all that. I can fix the way you're thinking about yourself, first of all. And then I can change how you're acting because of the way you're thinking about yourself. But are you resting in the truth that God is so powerful that nothing is too hard for him? And I want you just to hold on to that card for a minute. Because I don't know when, but at some point I want you to fill this in before I finish up here in a couple minutes, which is your own little dot, dot. God can heal me. God can change me. God can free me. God can hear me. God can see me. Because some of you feel invisible. To people and to God. And whatever your little fill-in is that God's going to give to you, because Jesus said, and I put it in your note at the bottom, with God, all things are possible. So doubting God's power, Christian, doubting God's power is a serious error. You know, the Sadducees, they got all worked up with Jesus one time, because the Sadducees, they're different than the Pharisees. The Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And so they're in this debate with Jesus. And they're like, oh, now how can you believe that? And Jesus, you know, Jesus really doesn't get much into a debate with them, but they're disputing with Jesus from a human point of view of the absurdity of resurrection. Because it is absolutely absurd. It really is. I mean, raising from the dead is absurd, Christian. And so is a virgin birth. I mean, and I'm not saying those things don't happen or didn't happen. I'm just talking about what we accept as normal. It's absurd to, like, the rest of the world. And so when you present that and they give you a puzzled face or, like, tell you your beliefs are nuts, I mean, it is absurd when you think about it until you factor in the power of God, the authority of God. And so Jesus is in this discussion with the Sadducees, and they're viewing things from a human point of view. And so Jesus cautions them in this same way that he cautions you. And it's in this next passage out of Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, and he says, you're mistaken because you don't know the scripture or God's power. In other words, what he's saying is you don't believe what you know. You don't really know the scripture here. You know it here, Sadducees, and that's why the Pharisees, you know, oftentimes mocked because they put the word of God here. And God says, I don't want it in just in your head, I want it in your heart. I want it living out of you. And so Jesus says to them, you are mistaken because you don't know the scriptures or God's power. And what are you right now disputing with God about? This week, this last month, this last year, what dream or promise has God given to you that you just don't think he's doing? You promised to set me free and I'm not free. You promised to get me into that, you know, that educational field that I'm really struggling now in, and why did you put me here? And there's something that God has given to you, this promise that he's given to you, that you're really struggling with, and that's the God can thing that you need to remember, that God can do what he says, and he will do what he says. It's us who cannot, and we are not to humanize God this way. What is it right now in your life that seems absurd, but it requires that you believe that he can do it, or that he can resurrect it in your life, that thing you thought was dead in you. Now is the time to write that down. That whatever it is that the Holy Spirit's sharing with you this moment, because one of the things about our service that we've been trying to free us up from since we became a new church is to let God's experience happen to you in our worship time. And so if he's talking to you, just tune me out and write down what he's telling you. I guarantee whatever I have to say is not going to be as good as what he's sharing with you right now, and that you can write on your card that God can heal, he can protect you, that God can change you, that God can save you, that God can renew you, whatever it is, that thing that he's giving to you. And sometimes we doubt what we read in the Bible simply because we can't conceive of a God that is so powerful. And we try to explain away miracles with science or with philosophy, and we trust our own understanding rather than in God's revelation of himself. And doing this, we humanize God, making him less powerful than he really is, and what he says he is, and who he says he is, and how he works the way he says he does. And this not ought to happen in our lives, believers. We are living testimonies. We are living testimonies of his supreme power. This gal right here, a living testimony. This one all the way from Denmark, a living testimony. I don't even know you, brother, but you are a living testimony from Jesus Christ. He was created, fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Living testimony. And I want us to remember that as I close this out, and I'm going to ask the band to come up. Don't forget, you're a living testimony to remember how he rescued you, how he saved you, how he healed you, how he moved you, the things he has shared with you, the experiences you've had with him, how he has brought something about in your life that you never expected, how he has accepted you, how he has changed you, how he has comforted you, how he has spoken to you. Don't be mistaken, Christian. Don't be mistaken, because you do know the scriptures, and you know the power of God in your own life. Amen? Would you, right now I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads, because I want you to listen to this last part without any distraction, because I know that it gets distracting sometimes when we're setting things up. But Father is going to share with us something into your life. God's promise to free you or to heal you is based completely in God's power. We know that 1 Corinthians tells us that God raised the Lord, and by his power, God will also raise us. And this is the power we have access to that Paul talks about out of Romans chapter 1, that I'm not ashamed of the good news. It is God's power to save everyone who believes, and salvation for man comes from the power of God. So there's no person, no country, no military force that is more powerful than God, and he is completely in control. And we can boldly approach God in prayer, because he can answer our prayer, and nothing is too big for God to handle. Almighty God, you made heaven and earth by your great strength and powerful hand. Nothing is too hard for you. God, you have the power to change our issues today. Your power to overcome and to remove whatever is in our situation today is there. No matter what our problems are, God, you are greater. And the more we see your greatness, the less threatening our problems will be.